the last, we'll be the first. What a day, I'm telling you.
This is Jimmy and Annette, and we are excited today to be with you. It is bright and early in the morning, so we both have our morning voices on. Hey, gorgeous, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fired up. That's how I am.
Wow.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited that we're getting to help people live up in a down world, which is the name of this podcast, by the way. And I'm excited. We got two new mic stands. So, I mean, hey, there's lots to be excited about here.
Anytime you get new equipment, you new really gear. Get excited.
New gear. New equipment. Either way works. You sure are gorgeous this morning.
Oh, thank you.
You're not cute. You're gorgeous.
That's I know. A stronger
we,
word.
We had this conversation, didn't
it's
we?
Okay.
We had one of those
we don't need to share that
husband-wife conversations.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to be cute. I want to be gorgeous. All right, you're gorgeous.
Wow. Okay, now you're telling all my secrets.
No. It's not even in the show notes. I went off script.
Cute sounds like what you'd say about Chevy, right?
Yeah, he is cute, okay. For sure.
I like the way Tina and Adam open. Hello, my love. Hello, my queen.
No, we can't copy them.
No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love that he calls her her his queen.
His queen. Hello, my queen.
But he's got that radio. You don't have that, honey.
I don't do it.
That
so
sounded really
from Texas.
Bad.
I'm such a West Texan.
Adam, I'm so sorry that he did that. You have one of the best voices I know.
He does.
He really
I'm jelly.
Does.
I'm so jelly over that. Totally jealous.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah, but he's worked on it for 40 plus years.
I thought that was his.
And he smoked for years too, so that helps.
And it didn't. What?
No, it gives it that
ooh,
nasty. That
smoking
nice,
is not good, though.
No, it's that nice rasp he has.
Oh, I don't think.
I
think
right
he's just got
drainage.
He's got the best radio voice. He went into the right field for sure.
Totally. You know what? We listened to nearly 2 hours
of No Agenda
yesterday.
I want him to know that we did that.
Adam. Podfather, Curry,
it was
brother.
So good.
It was amazing.
So good.
We were like cheering. I mean, it was like, come on with your bad stuff.
So now we'll have to figure out how we can keep listening.
Work it in. Yeah.
6 hours. I don't know.
That's
Adam.
A lot.
That's a lot for us.
It's a lot, brother.
It's really good information. I would definitely recommend
so
people, if they want to know what's really going on in this world,
especially now,
that's a really good radio or a podcast to
podcast,
listen to.
No Agenda with Adam Curry and John Dvorak. And they are just deconstructing all of the misinformation. It's a nice way to say it. I was going to say BS.
Everything is misinformation
is BS.
Right now. It is the craziest thing.
It's unbelievable. It's insanity
right now.
It really is. And I don't want to dive off yet into that. We'll probably roll into that at some point. But first of all, we are living up in a down world. This is Pastor Jimmy and Dame Annette, affectionately known as. And we pastor Bridge Church in Fredericksburg, Texas. And we love doing a podcast. We decided to do this a while back when Adam and Tina.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, we got to know them. And Adam was like, you guys are like natural podcaster. You should just do it. So we just basically bought gear.
I don't know where he got that from, but I'm just kidding.
Plugged it in and just started. And so we are now on episode number 72 today.
72.
Mm-hmm. They just crossed with Curry and Keeper 100. So yeah, congrats to them for
and
sure.
And theirs is amazing too. So.
Oh, amazing podcast. So do give them a listen. And so what's up in your world over there?
Well, we're being blitzed by the media coverage of the DNC. Is that what you call it?
Yes, the Democratic
I had
National
a DNC
Convention.
When I was
Whoa,
young.
Hello.
And that kind of feels
what
like
the?
That. I know.
No,
think
no,
about
no.
That.
TMI. Way TMI.
It's the DNC is a joke.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's a joke. The Democratic National Convention is a joke
it's,
right now. And
it is
what
a
we're
clown
seeing
show. It's a clown
is
show.
Not real. And people are buying
it's
into things. And so, yeah, I'm being, yeah. I had to correlate it with the DNC. I had because it really is the same. So I know. What can I say?
Wow. Too early. Too soon.
I know. Sorry.
So, yeah. I mean.
But anyway, Your message. Let's go into your Sunday message. Well, let's change gears.
We are shifting gears.
We are.
I just
because
got podcast whiplash.
Well, you did. Sounds like Adam and Tina.
Before we do that.
Oh, no. Why?
We want to invite people to go to our website.
Oh, you don't want to do that at the end?
I'm going to do it now.
Okay,
and at
you
the
go
end.
Ahead.
Go
All
to
right.
our website, Living Up in a Down World. Actually, we've received some notes from since last week, and they're not things I'm going to read on the air because okay. they're more personal in nature, but I want to say thank you for those who wrote in and encouraged us also for Adam Curry. Just, you know, Adam, just he practices what he preaches, and that is value for value, that if what we're doing here adds value to you, then you can simply add value back. One of the main ways you can do that is by giving our link out, sending our link to other people who may be encouraged, who may be helped by our conversations about God, about marriage, about the culture, about this world, the Bible, Scripture. And so if it encouraged and helped you, then send it out to other people. That's one of the best ways you can show value. Other ways, go to our website, livinguppinadownworld.com, click on subscribe, and that way you'll get on our mailing list and you'll know when our podcasts are coming. But also, you can also, either through PayPal or on any of the platform podcasting 2.0 apps like Castomatic, you got a face over there.
We just kind of noticed that we're under a boil use for falling water.
What?
Yes.
Boil?
Boil use. We have
what if
to boil
we have
our
RO water?
Water?
We have RO
Doesn't
water.
Doesn't matter.
We have to boil
we
our
have
water?
We have to boil our water due to well issues. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I know. We had water this morning, but it was already.
RO. It's RO water is what
yeah,
we
it
use.
It doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that takes out everything.
No. No. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway, we digress because then it's.
I know. Sorry.
On
it just came up as
the
a newsflash.
So.
Where we live, because they're putting in that new well, we
wow.
have to be.
Okay.
Something happened.
Yeah.
Due to
nice.
Well issues.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We have to boil our water until further notice.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Hey, first world problems.
Yeah.
Most of the world has to do that just to live and don't even have the luxury of it.
No,
so let's just
no.
be thankful, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, go to livinguppinadownworld.com.
Sorry.
You can show value on any of the podcasting platforms. Check out the more the modern podcasting platforms like Castomatic, Fountains, our favorite. And you can do value for value on there. You can send Satoshis and Boostagrams just to encourage and love to hear from you. But big thanks to Adam Curry, 77,700.
What?
I hit the wrong one.
What are you playing? I
did
can't
KYBO.
Hear it. Oh, well.
That was a Striper boost, but I did the KYBO.
Keep your buckets,
overflowing.
Well, you need to do that too.
We
so.
Do need to do that. That's for sure. So anyway, yeah, as far as our week goes and what's been going on, man, last week was a whirlwind week. We talked about it on the show. So we came back excited, enthusiastic, but physically tired. So, yeah, the last part of the week was like recovery. Wow.
But it was good.
It was amazing. It was amazing. So, you were mentioning Sunday.
Sunday. You were on fire. And you got Brian Mandel, Pastor Brian, on fire. And the church was lit up, second service. And Faith asked today, which service do you want us to put online? We were like, second service. Because you just lit a fire under everybody with just going to the Word and speaking the Word over ourselves and living up in a down world, basically.
That's what it's about, isn't it?
And it was really, you kind of went back to our old roots of walking by faith and speaking faith over us, speaking faith-filled words over us. And it was really powerful.
Tell me, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Or I want to just give you something to leap off onto. For you, in your walk with God through the years, what is the difference between a passive Christian life and a Christian life that's more active and declarative in nature?
Well, the difference is, okay, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the only way you can have joy in the Lord is by getting in His Word, singing His Word, worshiping. When I'm down, okay. I shared this with you this morning, but I think
this is
it
good.
Bears
no, this is
repeating.
This is how you live up in yes. a down world.
I remember as a teenager breaking up or being broken up with my boyfriend. And, you know, as a teenager, you have these songs that, you know,
your songs,
your this is songs. Our song. Yeah, these are our songs song. That are reminiscent of your dating, your courtship. And typically, this is what's so sad. And I know this for a fact that this happens with a lot of women. I don't know about guys, but with a lot of teens, for sure, is we'll, even after we've broken up, we'll listen to those songs. It'll just get us down and more down. And then we'll continue to listen. And it's almost like we enjoy being in that place, although we don't need to be in that place. We need to be in a better place.
There's a word for that.
What?
We love to commiserate.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We just love to wallow in it.
Yes, we do. And so I have found as an adult that when I get down, when I turn on worship music, especially worship music that has the word in it, like for instance, today we were listening to Red Rocks Worship.
Oh, love those guys.
And there were some songs.
They're out of Denver, Colorado.
Yes. And we used to do the song, some of the songs in church, and we're like, we haven't done these in a while. So I was listening to them and it built me. I literally felt like I was walking a foot off the ground because it was the word of God. In song, why do you think Psalms in the Bible is about its songs?
Right.
And so, and why is it the most lengthy book in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really think about that, that's why we need to surround ourselves with worship. Now, last week we surrounded ourselves with the Doobie Brothers. It wasn't bad. It brought back old memories.
It was fun and nostalgic.
It's nostalgic, but this is what brings life to me. This is what brings joy. This is the joy the Lord gives me strength. And so we actually went online to see if there was a new album. And of course there was in April. And I began to listen to them and I'm like, okay, here's some new songs for our church. Because we're so inundated with bad press, bad news, that if we don't pull ourselves up by our bootstrings, is that the way you say it?
Bootstraps.
And put on things that are going to lift us up. We're going to stay in that down, depressive state.
True.
Whether we're depressed or not, it's a depressive state.
Absolutely true.
And so I found myself this morning just in a whole new place. And I feel like that's a word for people, especially if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you don't understand these things. And that's okay. You can get there. But if you're a Christian and you're not walking in joy, you're not walking in peace, put on some vibrant music, not some music that's going to bring you down, but music, worship music that has the word in it that is going to lift you up. And it will lift you out of those circumstances. So what you were doing Sunday, especially at the end of both services, you started reading Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and you were reading those and putting that in a statement of who we are. We're above only and not beneath. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the country. As you were doing that, our church, you could feel the room change. You
totally
could feel the atmosphere, especially second service. And so I think you're onto something there. And I think as a church, it's not about being fake. It's about allowing the word of the Lord to bring us that joy and that faith, because that's where our faith comes in.
No kidding.
You know, it comes by the Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so the more word we get in us, the more faith we'll have. And we'll be able to discern the times. And you use that word, I think, on Sunday. We've talked about it. We need to discern the times.
We need to, like the men of Issachar, they discerned the times and they knew what to do.
Do, yes.
So we need to be discerning. And
but if we're not in the word, we'll discern the wrong. We won't have the right discernment, correct?
Absolutely. I would like to read the first part of Deuteronomy 28. And I want to encourage you to jot this down, make a note, however you need to remember it. It's Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14. And when you read it, this is what we learned. Gosh, this has been nearly 30 years ago.
Yeah.
We learned to read this in a declarative manner because this is a promise. It was a covenant promise made to Israel, made to God's people in those early days, but it was attached to and a part of the, it's called the Deuteronomic covenant, and also out of Genesis 13.
Which is an everlasting covenant. It never goes away.
That's the point.
I think that's the problem.
It is an everlasting covenant, which means it's still in not in vogue, it's still enforced
today. But the problem is so many churches say we don't even live by the old covenant,
right.
And
yeah,
that is erroneous.
Just old news.
It's erroneous.
What we need to realize is the power of our words, and mm-hmm. when we take God's word and put it, make those our words, that's a double whammy. That's a double shot right there. It's like a double shot espresso. I mean, like, wow, you know, it's a jolt. It's powerful. What you say matters, and even how you say, the spirit in which you say it matters. So, I'm going to read this scripture, and then we'll just talk. I want to riff on that a little bit because I want to teach people how to do this so that when they themselves try to read this or start to read it, they'll understand the power of these words. All right.
Very important.
So Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments.
All or some?
All. His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Little caveat here on the word blessing. What a blessing is, by definition, is it is an empowerment to prosper.
Yes.
Whereas a curse, on the flip side of that, is an empowerment to fail. He says all these blessings, all this empowerment to have good success and to prosper shall come upon you and overtake you because, here's why, and this is the only reason why, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. There it is. Mm-hmm. Obedience activates blessing.
It does.
That simple.
Well, and the
obedience,
thing is,
let me say it again. This is important.
Yeah.
Obedience activates blessing.
And it's not just because you're a Christian you have that. The caveat there is you have to walk in obedience, not be perfect. Give me a break, because there's only one perfect person and he already died and came and he's coming back. But you do need to diligently obey. You need to, that's an area that we need to keep within us, that we want to please. I love the word please.
I love it.
Versus obey.
I heard Pastor Alan Jackson say,
yes,
we need to please God.
I like that better because obey sounds like we're a slave, which we are. We're
bond servants.
Bond servants. But the thing is how about we change that to please?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Let's please God.
That is a beautiful word.
And it's not living to please God so that we'll somehow get something.
No.
That's the mistake.
No, or get saved. Because
yeah,
we're already saved. It's a gift.
We're saved. We're born again. We've received Christ as our Savior, mm-hmm. made Him the Lord of our life.
Yes.
And now we live to please God.
God.
Why? Because He's our Father. Because He loves us and mm-hmm. we love Him. We want to please Him, just like I wanted to please my own dad.
But a lot of preachers that we've heard on TV will, you know, do this so you can get that.
Mm.
That is not this. I mean, we do it out of love.
That fires me up in a negative way.
It does,
I mean,
me
like,
too, because that's that prosperity message, and I don't like
God's word.
Yeah, I don't like
I can't
any of that.
Stand that.
That is not this.
So let me pat. We'll riff some more off that, but let me go for it. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways.
Love that.
The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now, it goes on. I'm going to stop there because that's a lot.
It is.
But I want to just start by saying this. Somewhere down the line, we bought into the idea and the worldview that we're supposed to live a passive and weak Christian life.
No.
When in fact, many, if not most of the events, depictions, and stories of people in the Bible and in our American history that we herald as heroes and saints were anything but passive and weak. So the question is this, what happened to us? Where did we miss the turn?
We became complacent. Oh, sorry. Are you going there?
No, I've got more to read.
Oh, sorry. You keep going then.
What happened to us?
Yeah.
Where did we miss the turn? Who told us to stand down, be quiet, don't rock the boat, don't make a stink, get out of the public square?
That's called the passive faith. And I think, honestly, I have to say this. A lot of preachers, a lot of churches, I think we have made the gospel too easy. Okay, maybe the gospel's is easy because it's supposed to be, but discipleship too easy. People, we give them a pass. You don't need to disciple. Just come to church.
We've told them inadvertently or intentionally that it's easy, it's free, it doesn't cost you anything. Just say yes.
And it costs you everything.
It's literally laying your life down.
It is. But we've made that too easy to where I think there's people that think they're saved, but they're not because they don't think about God during the week. They go to church on Sunday. They might read their Bible every now and then, but they don't think about pleasing God. They don't ask God before they make major decisions. They don't. And I know that because we've been there. I've been there, and there's a big difference in who I was before and who I am now. And I don't think it's just because I'm older and don't have much time. You know, hello. I think it's just because I have got, I really got a revelation, and not everybody has a revelation of who Jesus is.
So you and I were talking about this earlier. This has been an ongoing conversation, and I want you to tell your story, and I'll tell mine. The short version of it is that when I was a brand new Christian, in the fifth grade, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Now, I was young. I was brand new. I knew zero. And so I walked an aisle. I checked the box, and I got dunked in a hot tub called the baptistry. But I didn't really know anything. But something, it lit a fire in me. Mm-hmm. It lit a fuse. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And I always say I was introduced to Jesus then. That doesn't mean I made him my Savior and Lord, but I was introduced to him.
That's the key right there.
But
a lot of people
happened.
Are just introduced. Yeah.
Something happened on the inside of me where I was so hungry for God that I would ride a rusty old school bus that they had converted into a church bus to church. They would pick me up in that old bus every Sunday morning. Couldn't get my parents to take me. Couldn't get anybody else to take me. So here I am as a fifth grader going into the sixth grade, and I'm jumping on a bus with a bunch of strangers who would do that nowadays because I wanted to be in God's house. Mm-hmm. Now, that played out. I was in public school. The next school year started. I got caught up, and I feel like the enemy just completely threw things in front of me to get me off track. Looking back on it, I didn't know it then, but now, as an 18-year-old,
most likely did.
As an 18-year-old, I really stepped over the line. This time, I accepted Christ as my Savior and declared him as the Lord of my life. That means I'm declaring him as master. I'm not. He's God. I'm not. He's Savior. I'm not. So I did that. And at this point, it's like all of heaven broke loose. And at exactly the same time, all of hell broke loose.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the enemy was doing everything he could to keep me from pursuing discipleship. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Because he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. So, of
That's
course,
right.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that I had no one to disciple me. This was the last week of my senior year of high school. So I was moving.
Okay. And let's define the word disciple. You had no one to teach you the things of God. You didn't know
how to show me the ropes
to get in the Bible. You didn't know how to,
where to start.
Yeah. You didn't know where to start. Cause that's the key.
Where do you read? What do you do?
Yes.
I mean, this Bible, and I had a King James Version Bible, right?
Okay. That was, that's the biggest,
what do I can't even understand
deterrent, because
Elizabethan English.
Right. Exactly. You need a new Living Bible. Is a
something.
New,
yeah.
Something.
Yeah. And so I had nobody to show me anything. But here's the deal. It didn't stop me from pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hunger. It rekindled that hunger from before. But this time it was empowered with the Holy Spirit because I was born again, born of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, no one could stop me. I was reading no matter what. I just opened my Bible and read like Bible roulette because I didn't care. It was God's word, and it meant something to me.
So I wonder why is there such a difference? Because even adults, I mean, I can understand that as a child, because then we go through hormonal phases as teens, and we can get off track. But what about adults who get saved and say, we're ready, and I'm on fire, and I get baptized, and I want to show, but then you see them leave. You see, like, there's some people that have gotten baptized in the last few months, and they're not in church anymore. What do you think? Do you think it's because of the weighty things of life just come in and...
No.
Do you think they really got saved?
Here's what I think. I think people mistake baptism and making a, quote, profession of faith for getting saved. I think they've replaced something that is a heart shift and a mind shift and a spirit shift.
Mm-hmm.
With a physical act. The physical act should be an outflow of what's happening internally, not the opposite. So we'll do things to try to get to God. Oh, then I'm going to get baptized because I was baptized as a baby. We see a lot of that. We're in a Lutheran Catholic community. So we have a lot of people that want to be baptized because they got baptized as a baby. Now they're an adult. We've actually do now a training class to make sure they understand why they're doing this.
I almost think you need to do the training class a month before and see if they're still ready a month later.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not going to deny people. I mean,
but again,
Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, what prevents me from being baptized?
I know, right? But here's the thing.
But I hear what you're saying.
I talked to you about this morning. I pulled out an old purse, a purse that I used about a month ago, and it had prayer points for our youth that just went on camp. And I looked at that, and I was like, they got back from camp over a month ago, and we had 20 kids get saved. But how are they today? And I told you this. Yeah, we needed to pray before they went to camp. And yes, 20 got saved. But now is when we need to pray even more, because now they've gone back to school. And let's see if they're really saved.
Yeah, this
or did they get
really
caught up, which is what happens.
Right.
So much of the time is we'll go to some event, camp or a conference or some kind of retreat, and we'll be surrounded by Christian music, Christians, no outside interference.
Yeah, no phones. Your phones
yes,
are off.
No outside interference or influence. And yes, okay, we're ready. And then we get back into our daily routine of life, and then things change. I think that now's the time to start praying for all of those kids, or keep praying and not stop.
I think that's a good reminder for this Sunday for our whole church, because our church really got behind our students.
Yes.
They really took this on, and I had two students I was praying for by name.
Mm-hmm,
and
me too.
And you reminded me, I need to, I've got their
I want to see
names.
Where they're at today.
Yeah,
I want to know. I'm going to talk to our youth pastor and say, are those kids that got saved? How are they doing? Are you in their lives to help them get discipled? Because that's when you know it's real, is if, okay, they've gone back to school. It's been almost a week.
Mm-hmm.
How are they doing now? Because it is hard. It is hard. I loved camp. I wanted to be at camp 24/7 every day.
Everybody
because,
wants to stay at camp.
Yes.
They want to
and that's
live
why
there.
People go, oh, I wish I could work at the church, because it's so, you know, it's fine, but it's really what we do outside of the church that matters.
So think about it this way. Once you say yes to Jesus, and you really do, you give your heart to Christ, you're like all in, that is when the enemy comes in.
Yeah.
And now the battle happens.
The battle
and now you've
starts.
Got to, it's the same principle when Joshua took the Israelites over into the promised land.
Yes.
The land was given to them, promised to them. They still had to fight for
it.
Once they stepped over, they had to occupy it. And so we still have to occupy territory. And a lot of that territory are old habits that we have to submit to him. But you got to occupy something to control it, to occupy and then submit, occupy it and submit.
Right.
And say, all right, I'm going to give this to you, God, because
right.
I've owned this. Now I'm going to give it to you.
Yes.
This habit that drags me down, this habit that takes me out, I've owned it, but now I'm giving it over to you. So you have to occupy and then release.
And confess it to a youth pastor or someone that they can help you with that.
Yeah, because help you walk through
not
it.
Not everybody can just,
right.
Okay, I'm not going to look at porn anymore or whatever you do. It takes.
Porn's a killer. I mean, let's just be real.
Well,
that is taking.
Sexual sin is taking
out.
Everyone out
it's
right now.
Unbelievable.
We watched a
baptism video.
A baptism video.
Great church down in Corpus.
Yes.
Baptized a bunch of people.
And all these teens. And what was surprising.
The girls.
The girls that were hooked on porn.
And they were
lust,
saying, I'm
sexual
letting go.
Sin.
What they did, the pastor put a mic in the face, said, right before their baptism. So what were you testifying of, basically? What's your testimony? And they'd say, What are you letting go of? I'm letting go of pornography. I'm letting go of lust. I mean, these were like kids. These were
yes.
young people that are inundated because of these screens that are
it's
so
the
accessible.
Screens. It's what's the magazines. It's TikTok.
It's everything.
It's
so this onslaught. But it's yes. also pastors falling to this. It's everyone.
Yes.
I mean, this is so rampant.
It is.
And because our culture is so sexualized. Now, I'm not going to dive off in a hole here because
no.
we need another hour show.
Right.
So let's get back to our original point.
Right, but what I'm saying is you need to be able to confess that thing. And I
yeah.
love that those teens
oh,
did
beautiful.
That. So now the pastors that heard that can go to them and say, okay.
And the parents.
How are you doing?
Friends.
How are you doing? What
else?
Can I do to help
Yeah, not just
you?
Pastors.
Right. Anybody,
it's not all on the pastors.
Anybody that they allow in their lives
yeah.
is what I mean. But
yeah.
leaders.
Mm-hmm.
That won't take advantage of them. Hello, because there are those too. But that can say, "What can we help? How can we help you with this? You know, eradicating this from your life?
Yeah.
Because it's the enemy knows your weaknesses, and he will come at you with those weaknesses.
Absolutely, the Achilles tendon.
And it doesn't matter if you've been a pastor for 41 years like you, or in the ministry 30 years like me, or 2 hours." The enemy will come at you however he can to get you to deny your faith.
Yeah. And to get you to use a word that we're using a lot, capitulate,
yes.
give over to, which
give
is
over
what that
to.
Means. It means to give mm-hmm. up.
And then
to
you
give
walk
over,
in shame, and God wants to take that shame away.
That's
but
it.
You have to have a mindset of, I want to please God, so I'm going to avoid this. But it does take time.
So
it is so hard.
Let's go back to where we started,
okay?
And that is using God's word
yes.
to become, as the Bible calls it, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we got to take that word, and we've said this for years, the word works. But
you got to work the word.
So how do you work the word? So let's land on this,
mm-hmm.
because I think this is going to be helpful, because we could go all day on this topic. I mean, literally. What we did and we learned years ago is we took Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, and we just broke it down into little bite-sized chunks. What I do is I copy and paste onto a note on my computer, and then I can separate the scriptures, and I can manipulate them in terms of being able to read them one at a time as opposed to just this big group of scriptures. And I just go down the list and I say it this way. I'll say, Father, I thank you that you have made me to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city and I am blessed in the field.
Mm-hmm.
As the enemy comes at me one way, he must flee seven ways. And why am I blessed? Because I obey the voice of the Lord. And that's a short version of what I do. I do a lot of, you've got a face going on.
You're
reading emails.
No, just go ahead. It just keeps popping up more stuff with the boil. So it's kind of like now they're offering bottled water. to pee. It's not good. We need to make sure we're okay. But anyway, keep going. No, I don't do that because really I'm listening to what you're saying. It just popped up.
Okay, so.
I'm going to turn it off.
Thank you. Thank you. Pretend we're at lunch or something.
Yes. Oh, no, then I'd be on my phone. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know you would be. So.
No. But keep going because this is what we do.
We take God's word and we work the word. And when we work the word, it has power because what you say matters and the spirit in which you say it matters. If you just read it, that's one thing. But when you declare it.
It's because you're bringing it inward. You're not just saying it as words. You're taking it to heart, and that's the key.
Keep going on that because I want to look up a scripture. I'm going to find it real quick. How do you do it? That's how I do it. I used to do it around 20. What are other scriptures or things that pop into your mind just in your random prayers?
No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me, you shall show to be in the wrong.
That's Isaiah 54.
Yeah, that's one. For by his stripes I'm healed because I've got some knee issues right now, and I'm pray that constantly and that.
So we call it standing on the word.
On the word. What?
I'm looking up a scripture. That's why I'm the confession of your faith. I love this scripture.
That with your mouth you speak, but what is it? I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're, but by confession, I don't know this. I don't know the.
Okay, that's called dead air. That's you're supposed to be.
Oh, sorry,
riffing.
I'm thinking. I'm trying to think.
Hebrews 10:23 okay. says this: Let us hold fast the confession of our hope.
Yeah.
And that hope, a Bible word, means expectation, joy, and confident expectation. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Mm-hmm. And so that's the principle right there.
Yeah.
We hold fast to that. The hold fast means to hang on to the confession of our hope. And so take God's word, use God's word, employ it, and then deploy it into your life and into the atmosphere, and it'll make a massive difference in your life.
It will.
All right. So from a carnivore thing. I'm not going to spend time on this, but this is
our little carnivore corner.
We are on day 410.
Wow.
We both went to the doctor yesterday. I had my blood panel done and you had your knee looked at. So we were sitting there together and she's looking at my blood panel and she's like, gosh, everything here looks amazing. You know,
and she was like, and I said, well, it's because we're on carnivore. And she goes, you know what? I have a lot of patients on carnivore and they're all doing well. I am ready to start looking into it for myself.
Our own doctor.
Finally.
Right. Yeah.
Finally. I mean, this is, I have a doctor in San Antonio that's okay. But this one is in Fredericksburg. She's our PA in Fredericksburg. And it was nice to hear someone, instead of saying, no, you need to get back on statin. You need to get back on.
Yeah, because she was asking me, so, I see you have prescriptions here. Yeah. You're on Olsen.
And you're like, nope.
You're on simvastatin. Nope. She said, you're off all those? You know, you're on this? Nope, I'm off. I mean, totally off of everything. She's like, wow. And then, of course, and then. It's just interesting when a doctor notices and says,
and
wow,
I literally don't want to go to a doctor that says, get off of it because
for real,
we feel too good. I think what's happening with my knee is an injury, which is totally different.
Right. That's different.
But,
it's called doing too deep squats. I think it's from that
or
injury.
It could be from weights because I've, it could be my leg presses too. So who knows?
Well, that too. Yeah.
Who knows? But anyway, I think it's just an injury and overuse, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I go back tomorrow, but the thing is we feel great. And when we eat heavy protein, it just builds us up.
Beef.
Yeah,
fat.
It's good.
I mean, it's all good.
So
if you have questions about carnivore, write us at livingupinadownworld.com. We call it a three leg stool, mind, body and spirit. And when those are in balance, life is good. I'm just saying. Life is good. Mm-hmm. Or as Dr. Kilt says, life is good. God is good. Keep the faith. I love him. He's a wild man for Jesus. 68 years old, nearly 69 now.
I think so.
And he is going strong. He's been a carnivore like 15 years, and he is a beast. He's awesome. So anyway, that's just what's going on with us. We love you guys. Thank you for listening, and thank you for reaching out. It was great hearing from you. If you've never written us, I'm going to give you an assignment. Super simple. Go to Living livingupinadownworld.com and just write us a note. Let us know where you're from. I love getting emails and notes from people outside the country, outside our community, in our community. We just love hearing from you because it matters. The fact that you're listening, the fact that you're tuning in is huge for us. We just got a rig, thanks to Adam Curry, where we now have two studio options, where we can be at home with our studio or we can be at our church with our bigger studio. But we now have a portable studio, so we're going to be able to do our podcast much more consistently because we want to be with you. We want to encourage you. That is our heart. And I want you to know something. God is for you. He's not against you. He is for you. And so I want to end with this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." So I want to just encourage you today, Annette does as well, that we are here for you. That's Ephesians 2:10. Check it out in the New Living Translation. Whatever we can do to encourage you on your journey and help you live up in a down world, help you to live with a biblical worldview and engage your culture head on, because we do not live by fear. We live by faith in Jesus' name. Have a great week. God bless.